This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So yeah, it's the hour you've all been waiting for. You know it's Sex Monday. That's coming up at 5:30. And we're going to get sexy here in a second with an interview snippet from Lori's guy, Reggae Jean.
Oh, he's everybody's guy. Okay, Rocco, anybody who's watched Bridgerton, everybody.
We know you never went back, Rocco.
I still watched episode one.
It's so not.
It's not really my.
I could totally see that.
It's romantic historical fiction.
Donnie would like it, and he probably watched it because he also watched Outlander.
Yes, he did.
You know, but not.
You know, I saw you say something on Twitter this week. You said Donnie would have caught that.
Oh, yeah. I thought Suzanne Plachette, I said she was in Play Misty for me. It was Jessica Walters. But I've gotten those two mixed up before.
I felt like it was a subtweet against me.
No.
It's fine.
Donnie Racco. Anything 70s. He was old. He's a lot older than you, but I mean, he would know 60s and
70s. He was older than us.
Yeah, but he would know 60s and 70s stuff. He was always like setting us back on the, you know. You said you're going to set us straight on
the younger stuff.
Younger stuff or who knows what to be
you're
decided.
You're hipper.
I know how to pronounce Jason Sudeikis. Yeah. That's something.
Well, right, Donnie knew how to pronounce that too. It doesn't mean you'll ever succeed.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
But So Donnie would have just caught that right away. But I have mixed up those two actresses before, Jessica Walters and Suzanne Plachette. They're about the same age. Right. And, you know, they had this kind of sexy,
deep voices.
They have smoky voices.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Back to reggae.
Jean Page, who is the Duke of Hastings from Bridgerton. Well, here's the good news. Bridgerton is tipped to run for 8 seasons.
I feel 8? Like we've burned through so much good stuff already, and what's coming up next?
Well, Julia, I don't know, but there is something. But there, it's a family of 8 children. There's 8 books in the Julia Quinn.
Oh, right. I see
this
that.
This is the creator. So how long these people have signed contracts for, who knows? But Reggae was on with Jimmy Fallon, who had a show on Friday night. And, there's calls for Reggae to be the next James Bond and the next movie. And that people were really enjoying that. And then, there's The Spoon that's got an Instagram page devoted to the Duke of Hastings licking a spoon.
It's a very sensual moment.
And a lot of spoon pictures are going back and forth. And he hasn't been on a lot of couches, but what he gave us via Jimmy Fallon was pretty good. Here's a little cut.
I heard you somewhere talking about working with the horses, and that's been a whole different experience.
Well, I mean, horses are the biggest divas on set. If anyone ever tells you otherwise, don't believe them. It's, you know, like the animals and kids thing. It's particularly horses because they're like incredibly intelligent children with the power of a horse.
Yes.
So like you can't say the word A-C-T-I-O-N on set around a horse because they know what it means. And so someone just like blithely yells action. The horse will run. It will just like sprint off down a high street in Bath, mow down 10 grannies, and the insurance company shuts all down.
But I saw some pictures somewhere too of like, because obviously you can't do the whole, these carriage rides, if you have to do scene by scene, you wouldn't do it with the horse. So it's on green screen, and there's like crew and guys Well, there it is right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's, Shaking the carriage.
That's the movie magic. It's like when we're on green screen, there's no horses in the studio. It's just like a couple of set PAs at a grip and someone from the camera crew who's drawn the short straw, just like whoever's free. It's like being in theater. It's all hands on deck. It's like, yo, who wants to be a horse right now? We need to shake the carriage. And so like your mate Pete and a couple of guys come over and just start shoving it. And they're like, shove it more. They're going faster. And so they shove it harder and you're like having a deep romantic moment with the love of your life. And Pete's just like... trying to put you off.
I love they're making horse sound effects too.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Like it's a naughty crew, but also it's just very generous. It's that thing that Brits do. Like there were hundreds of people that worked so hard to make this thing happen, and that is very apt. It's very much a big team effort, so it's not a bad memory to have.
No.
So because there were a lot of horse rides, a lot of carriage rides. Yes. There was galloping across fields. All of this, of course, Fallon would be interested in that. The one thing he did say that I just absolutely, absolutely loved, Fallon asked Reggae how he would describe Bridgerton to people who haven't seen it yet. And he said it's kind of like Jane Austen meets Gossip Girl with 35 shades of gray.
That's perfect. That's kind of a perfect, perfect
Isn't
way.
It? And then he also... He said about one of his cousins didn't get the warning message for this show. And he said, my cousin sent me a text. I had to make so many tactical cups of tea during this show. Then I came back and you were still going. And all I can say is my family was very stimulated and caffeinated while watching this show. Because, of course, you know, there are some very good, sexy scenes.
There are some good stuff.
Anyway, I would like to see him on more couches.
Well, he's delightful. That accent, I mean, that's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We're so
beautiful.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. And then the dancing. He said that was what they had to rehearse the most.
Oh, because it's so old. It's,
waltzing, yes, and that and type
I,
of...
I love that.
Yeah, he said... like 100 that we spent endless hours in dance rehearsal.
I believe them.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what's going on. And he's not dating his co-star, Daphne, you know, who plays, you know, his
Daphne.
His Daphne. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dating.
Okay,
so I'm
fine.
Sorry. That's not happening. Also, this movie looks very, very funny. It's brought to us from the people who gave us Bridesmaids, starring Kristen Wiig. It's called Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. And it's Kristen Wiig and Annie Manulo. Honestly, Holly posted it for us. It looks absolutely hysterical. The music, everything. They're lifelong best friends.
It looks hysterical.
I don't know why. I'm hearing sort of a Minnesota accent.
Well, maybe.
Something.
Maybe.
They decide to leave their small Midwestern town and go for the first time ever on a vacation. I can't tell if Vista Del Mar is Florida or California, but it looks very colorful.
Or Mexico.
Yeah. But
looks
holiday,
fun.
You know,
it's
Madonna's holiday.
Totally, that looks fun.
It does.
Okay, here's what I want to know. Rocco, you watch Swear Words with Nicolas Cage. I want to hear about it.
You know, it's funny. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like one of those, you know, VH1 shows where they get talking heads on to sort of talk about things. So they'll pick there's like 5 episodes and they pick a swear word for each one.
Okay.
I think I watched the F word one and the S word one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And
the big ones.
Yeah. We're kind of going in order and we liked it. It's funny. One thing that was kind of a complaint because not only do they bring on linguists and people that like study words.
Julia, this is like our show we loved on VH1 called Best Week Ever.
Right. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Where they bring on experts that say a few things and they bring on some celebrities, some comedians that say something funny about it.
About the words. Well, there's no point really for us to spend too much time because we can't possibly talk about it because
I think it's worth it.
And again, it's like 23 minutes.
Is
it's
he a perfect shorty. Host?
And he's good. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him. What color is his hair?
That's funny. My wife was like, does he dye his hair? It's pretty, it's brown. It's like chestnut brown and it looks very colored. Yeah.
Cause that's the one thing that it would make me laugh because
but he's grown the beard and the mustache, like the greatest guy in the world, whatever, you know, that guy, I'm the most fabulous man in the world.
The most interesting man in the world.
Oh, the
Dos Equis.
Yes. Okay.
That's who he looks like to me, but with the, you know, dark hair and, Of course, the premiere episode probably was the F word.
Right.
I'm just thinking.
But are they all loaded?
Yes.
So you can watch it.
Yeah.
I might go watch that.
For each, the female body part word, the male body part
word.
I love
that show, Best Week Ever.
I know it. My mom would like watching with this. My mom, the original swearer of St. Paul. But,
yeah, it looks like there's six.
Okay. I think mom would like this, Lori.
Totally. 20 minutes each.
Yeah, this is, I'm going to tell mom about it. It's called The History of Swearing.
Yep. And it's fun. You know, they show clips, you know, of movies where the word is used to effect and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The thing that kind of stunk about the S word one was they had a guy on from The Wire who was known for saying that word very distinctively.
Yes.
And but they must not have got the rights to The Wire because they never, you know, they had the guy talking and making jokes, but they never showed. So my wife was like, who's this guy? And I'm like, you don't get, you had to be there. But I'm looking forward to watching the rest. I learned something.
All right.
But not, you know. It's a dangerous road for us to go.
Yeah,
it's a dangerous path.
Yeah,
it's a dangerous path.
Rachel Brosnahan, did you see her interview with? I've had to start taping Willie Geist because he gets one good celebrity every week.
He really does. But I tried. It's so Lori, how we think alike drives me crazy because yesterday, seriously, it was not. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, shoot, I forgot to tape Willie Geist's Sunday morning show on Channel 11. And I missed it, and I thought, damn.
So Rachel,
I've been missing him.
Rachel Brosnahan was the guest,
and she's Midge getting from
Mrs. She's Mrs. Maisel,
right?
And she's in this crime drama, which I'm recommending. I'm Your Woman on Amazon.
I still have yet to watch. Okay.
That could be something good for you to watch, especially you're missing Lupin.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to watch this yet, Rocco? I'm Your Woman.
No, I have not.
I mean, definitely not for the kid, but for you and your wife.
And it's I'm Your Woman on Amazon.
On Amazon. And you will not even for one second think, wow, Mrs. Maisel is really a good actor. You don't even think.
Fun. Is it a movie or
a
series?
Oh, it's just a movie. It's a movie, but it's a really good movie.
All right. And I'm going to watch it.
Anyway, so here she is. And it was kind of fun. She and Willie Geist. The two of them were on the top of a New York City Apple sightseeing bus, the two of them doing the interview.
Oh,
they
fun.
Saw the naked cowboy in Times Square his underwear and his hat on.
And
even
if you've never been to Town Square, what I call it, town?
Town Square.
He's been there forever.
Yeah, a long time. So here's just a little of Rachel.
Season 4 of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel starts production in New York this month.
Have you gotten used to the yelling on the streets and people knowing who you are, where you go?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure that's something you can ever get used to. It's always the, like, you know, 6-foot-tall dude with this enormous beard who goes, hey, man, love the show.
Yeah. Hi, Ben. I haven't played my hometown for a while.
To play a character like Midge, who is not just an extrovert, but a stand-up comic, which is like the scariest profession you can have. How did you approach that when you first started?
It's my worst nightmare. No, it's dreamy in that it continues to be a reach, and that's very exciting. I've tried a lot of things, lots of preparation. Coffee, lots of coffee, power posing in the mirror. I've actually tried
really?
It. Oh,
what
yeah.
is that? I've never done that.
Oh, you know, you just stand with your feet firmly planted on the ground and put your hands on your hips and hold your head up high and just hope that it comes to you. Hope the confidence comes.
Do you still feel that little pit in your stomach when it's time to get up on stage and be Midge up there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think when you feel like you have nothing to lose, you just stand at the, you know, at the edge of the plank every day and make the decision to dive off and just see what happens.
Thank you, Midge Maisel. And seriously, she is such a good actor.
I want to watch this. So the name of the movie again is called
I'm Your Woman.
And I never finished Mrs. Maisel season 3.
We've got something delightful to go back to.
I've got the crown and Mrs. Maisel.
There you go.
Look at that.
There you go. All right. Listen, we come back. We've got Holly and the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Holly, what do you got for us, hon?
All right, well, let's circle back to a story that we talked about in the 4 o'clock Dirt Alert update. That's this casting news. that Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem are in talks to play Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, respectively, in this new project by Aaron Sorkin called Being the Ricardos. Now,
this episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I was like, oh, we've talked about this project before, and Kate Blanchett was supposed to play Lucille Ball in this movie. Do you remember that casting news?
Yes. And we weren't that excited about that.
I don't. It seems weird.
Yes, it certainly does. You are having a natural reaction to this casting news. So this film is going to follow Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz during a week of production on I Love Lucy. So they're starting on Monday's table read, going to the live studio audience that happens on Friday evenings. That's kind of how sitcoms are filmed, and it has been for the past 70 years. So lots of people are kind of weirded out by this casting news.
Because it's right. You don't think of Nicole Kidman of being a comedian, and Javier Bardem, his head is too large for Ricky Ricardo.
Desi Arnaz.
My casting, and this is perfect, is Deborah Messing, Mark Consuelos. Bada bing, bada boom.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, she would be perfect to play Deborah. She's a comedian. I don't think of Nicole as really being a comedic actress. I'm sure she can, but it's wrong. Javier Bardem, his head is just too large.
It's too big.
To play Ricky.
It is too big.
I like my casting better.
Oh, well, it kind of reminds me. Remember when Nicole Kidman starred in the film Bewitched?
Yes.
And that movie was messy.
Yes.
You couldn't decide what it wanted to be. But
I felt like she was in the Stepford Wife one a year earlier.
Well, you want someone who's proven to do comedy. Yeah. And Deborah Messing and one of the last Will and Grace. Oh, God, they did a very funny thing to Lucille Ball. And she's so perfect.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is that, well, going down the dramatic rabbit hole, I recently watched an old Johnny Carson with Lucille Ball sitting on the couch in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a sharpness about Lucille Ball when she's off camera that will be really interesting to see whether or not Nicole Kidman can capture that.
Well, I hope they find out in the table read. This is not a good casting.
Here's my thing, I think, right now about Nicole Kidman, who we love.
Yes.
Don't get us wrong. She's kind of a part whore. She has too many parts. She gets all the good parts. She's in too many things. Can we just have a break?
Yeah.
Is that just terrible that I just said that?
No.
I just feel like she gets every part.
She does get a lot of good ones.
I mean, share the love with someone else.
Well, speaking of Nicole Kidman, if you are a Nicole Kidman fan, I will recommend the latest episode of the podcast WTF with Marc Maron, because she is sitting down with Marc Maron and doing a long form interview. And one of the things, I listened to part of it this morning, but one of the things that she talks about is how she becomes the characters that she's playing in a sense. And she talked about this on her latest role in the show, The Undoing. She said, it kind of happened where I just was suddenly in this place of, there was this disquietness to my personality. She said, I was uneasy and there was duress on who I was.
Well, she said this about Big Little Lies too, is that she gets so immersed in the thing, and that's an abused woman, and how it was so hard to go home.
She was amazing as Celeste.
And she is. She's method, but again, at the same time, I just feel like
Adam Sorkin probably looks down his nose at Deborah Messing and Mark Consuelos because they're quote TV. Unquote from TV.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Sure, sure. That's a, that is a good analysis of that casting news. Did you guys talk about Armie Hammer's alleged cannibalism?
I was just going to ask you about that.
All right. I'm so glad you brought this
up. I was just looking at something on that.
Okay. Wow. Well, wonderful. So Armie Hammer has the internet talking after some graphic DMs allegedly from Armie Hammer surfaced online over the weekend. So, several unverified private messages were posted online that were claimed to be from Armie Hammer. The messages included accounts of sexual acts and other fantasies, with the message reading, quote, "I need to drink your blood," quote, "why the distance?" Now, in another thread in these messages, Armie Hammer allegedly wrote, quote, "You're my angel. You're made to save me."
Okay. So here, no, this could be just like a completely goofy PR stunt gone wrong, because this is happening. It's a wild rumor that Armie is going to play the Robert Wagner part in a remake of the very terrible 1960 kind of faux Tennessee Williams movie called All the Fine Young Cannibals.
Oh, okay.
Which starred Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner. And that, you know, that's how the band Fine Young Cannibals got their name.
Okay.
And that he's is in talks to be starring in this. And people
You think
are,
they're just playing?
Well, I don't know if the I don't know. But that if you know anything, like, that is considered one of the worst flop movies with star people in it. Right, Holly?
Well, yeah, because it's one of those where Hollywood was in transition from the studio system to like new Hollywood. And in between, it's like, well, we still have these guys, these hot people like Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood on contract. But what do we do with them?
George Hamilton was in it. Pearl Bailey was a singer.
Okay.
It features the immortal line said by Robert Wagner to Wood in a fake Southern accent. "If I can't have you, then I want to hurt you and I will."
Oh,
yeah,
please.
yeah. And so whether, you know, anyway, Madonna's considering directing this thing.
Oh, no, that I, please.
And may co-star. Okay, no, I might be making that up.
Okay, stop, because that is just too much.
Anyway, so that's kind of where some people are saying that, you know, if these leaked tweets really are his, or if it's something taken out of context regarding this remake, which I don't know.
Sure. Well, E! News is saying that they haven't confirmed the authenticity, but the poster said, "I admit it's all fake, but it was funny, wasn't it?" But here's the thing. If you follow the blind item gossip about Armie Hammer, this guy...
He's a partier, and he likes a lot of sex.
He's a very sex-forward individual.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who knows where these came from? Maybe it's a movie buzz publicity. Maybe they were actual things. Maybe someone was making it up. I don't know. You get to decide.
Anyway, well, that's where the Fine Young Cannibal, a great band that had one great album, that's where they got their name from, well, this movie.
Thank you. That was a lot to find out that.
She Drives Me Crazy.
That was a good song.
They recorded a lot of that at Paisley Park, I think, too.
They did?
Yeah.
They recorded. Right. Now, these are the
everything
kinds of
comes back.
We would know.
Oh. Everything comes back to Paisley Park.
Which is opening again for tours this week.
Yay. All right. Thanks for letting us know that.
All right, this might be a counterintuitive bit of sexy news to share with you, but because we have science telling us this, we've all known it. Rocco has known it. I've known it. Anybody with a brain knows it.
But you didn't include me.
I did include you. I meant to include you.
Okay.
Julia, no. High heels really are sexy, and science has proved it. It is, you know.
Think of the last time you even wore one.
Exactly. But think of when we're going to be able whatever that might be. I mean, you've got a sexy wedge on today.
I do have a cute wedge on today.
Okay. So scientists, this is what they did. This is an interesting experiment, because what they did is that they had 52 female university students.
Okay.
They had them walk in flat shoes and then in their own high heels. And the high heel range was anywhere from 2.5 inches to 5-inch heel. Okay. And then they did a editing software to erase their feet so that only the woman's body movements could be assessed.
And you couldn't see their feet.
Yeah, and everybody wore like similar, they wore dark, tight-fitting t-shirts okay. with jeans or leggings. Their hair was just tied back or put back.
Okay. Yep.
So you couldn't see.
So the only difference was wearing flat shoes or wearing high heels.
But then they erased the, yep. the feet.
The feet okay? were gone.
And then they showed those videos to 100 men and 100 women.
Okay. Wow.
Who were asked to rate the scale of women on the scale of attractiveness from 1 to 10. The results were overwhelmingly in favor of heels, and it didn't matter of the gender, both men and women equally rated higher attractiveness were assigned to the models in the high heels rather than the flat.
And this is how you hold yourself, your body composure, how you walk, because you can't see the feet.
I mean,
basically. But think about it. Think about how you feel.
Here's the opinion of Hollywood legend Marilyn Monroe, who once said, "I don't know who invented high heels, but all women owe him or her a lot."
Well, it is the truth. When you wear like,
I think of Sex in the City, it could be called Shoes in the City without Samantha. But I mean, shoes.
High heel, having a little bit of a heel makes a difference.
And women, even though the scientists, women are the one area. I mean, to me, if you are not a woman who compliments another woman on a pair of shoes, I don't know what's wrong with you.
I would agree.
That is just something that is just the easiest thing in the world. And it delights most women when they see another woman with a great pair of shoes or boots or like, where'd you get those? Those are amazing.
You did it to me today.
I wish I could walk in those. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, you're cute.
Yep, I got some new.
And of course, shoes. Manolo Blahnik. You know, he's talked about. I think it was.
This is so true.
People
though.
People walk differently.
You walk, Lori. You know you do. You walk differently and you feel differently.
Your body sways to a kind of pelvic tempo, Julia.
It does.
Your
hips sway.
The main reason high heels, this is from another study, high heels make women sexy is the effect wearing them has on lumbar curvature, the way the back curves during motion. This other university study said that the sort of the caveman instinct for guys when they see a woman walk away in high heels is just that... caveman ways, extended tailbones means that you are somebody who can have multiple births.
Okay, so now I'm just going to pause. I'm just going to pause this right now because very early on, and I'm talking year two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 2004.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We had this woman on Sheila. She was an actress E.
Yeah.
S. And she did the book The S Factor.
Mm-hmm.
She's an actress, and you can look this up, Rocco. You'll recognize her. But she was in studio, and Joel Souchere was right next door to us with Patrick and the boys and doing Garage Logic. And remember when she came in and we brought her in from the front, and then she was teaching us between the two studios how to walk
in an S curve
and how to walk sexy. And it literally is when women walk, you have your feet side by side. But when you walk in the S factor, you walk your foot directly in front of and over the foot in front of it, and you cross and you cross and you cross, and what it does to your walk.
That's right.
It was called the S factor, and people
Sheila
might
Kelly.
Think
Sheila Kelly.
But you recognize her as an actress. She was in things. You might not. We would. She's more our generation.
I'm no Donnie.
No,
right. You aren't. Oh, Rocco, he's going to hang on to that one.
Yeah, really, you better not that sounds hang like on a, to that.
I'm looking her up.
Yeah.
But anyway.
She's married to that guy from the West Wing, that Richard Schiffer.
Yes.
I think was her husband.
Oh, but it Richard was Joe. Schiff, yeah.
Joe was just like, What was that?
And she had a beautiful figure, but it was all about... how, you know, and I don't know if this sounds sexist today or I don't know how it sounds, but you know, it, I like feeling sexy.
Well, there is a reason if you are going out or you're doing something fun, whether it's with your girlfriends, whether you're married, whatever you're, there's a lot of women who will make an effort with their footwear.
I do
nothing
in
else.
My house
yes.
when I'm dating.
Yes.
I mean, I always put on high heels at home.
Yes.
Because I feel sexier.
Right.
Always.
Yeah.
I have the pair.
Wait, when you're by yourself?
No, well, but like when you're dating.
When I'm on a date at my house, you know, I did have a boyfriend.
Even at your house?
Yeah.
You're just walking around in heels.
Well, no, I'll put on, you know, heels. Yeah. Makes me feel sexy.
I put on my little, granted, they're my little dancing shoes with a 1.5-inch heel, but still.
I put on a heel.
I'm able to get, you get more of a wiggle. And even I noticed this in the Elvis movies that I watched. So Spin Out, which had, for some reason, a lot of beach stuff. It was like in Carmel. Mm-hmm. But even the dancing in a bikini on a beach, a lot of ladies will just instinctively dance on their tiptoes. And it does same something with for the your dancing calf. Thing. You'll do, like, if you're posing, people will do their foot. It's just sort of a thing.
Mine is always, it makes me feel sexier.
Yes, of course.
And what did you say? It's a caveman?
It's a caveman thing. It's the subconscious signal is that if a woman's spine kind of, you know, curves and sort of jutting out like that, you look like you can bear a lot of children. You've got
everything goes back to the caveman.
You've got a lot of, you've got the hip triangle ratio that just, you know, talks to the animal in you.
But I don't know. Everyone likes to mix things up, you know, and to keep things fresh. And I always find if I put on high heels or high wedges or something, it makes me feel.
And in this study,
sexier.
The women also rated the other women. There wasn't any, like, quote unquote, I don't want to use a, you know, a big, you know, psychological or sexual research term, but it is a word, intrasexual rivalry. There was none of that. For women judging, they were like, that's attractive. They could tell it just at the same level as guys.
So
there wasn't any rivalry, intersexual rivalry, which you'll see in other studies that people will do about how people judge people.
Yes.
But it was just
it's your gait. It's just the walking. Yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Rocco.
Okay.
Did you learn anything?
Yes.
High heels are sexy.
I mean, not that we needed to know that, but now we know.
But they make you feel sexy and you walk different and you hold yourself different.
Yeah.
And it can be a wedge. At home on dates.
That's right.
No. I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
This is, if you have been somebody, if you've been a man who said, I need time before I go for round two, I am here to tell you that science says stop being so lazy.
Okay.
No need to wait. You're good to go.
Yeah. It's, I know. Okay. So here's the study. So,
okay.
One hormone has been historically linked to the wait time men require before round two. That hormone is prolactin. T-I-N.
Okay.
Okay. And a new study, though, said from researchers in Portugal said, hey, prolactin has nothing to do with male post-ejaculatory refractory period.
Oh, wow. That was a mouthful. Say that again.
Julia, you actually made a very dirty pun.
I know I did, but I didn't mean to. I totally didn't mean to. I was trying to get past it.
So scientifically speaking, I will explain what I meant by post-ejaculatory refractory period. That is just... when the man ejaculates.
And how much time before he can do it again.
That's right. Before he regains, we call it sexual capacity, Julia, in the, sexology world. Okay. And so prolactin, blah, blah, blah. They said when we started working off, we thought for sure it was going to happen for round two. But they said, no, not really. What they found is that the male refractory period, it really just comes down to the individual guys. Some guys get extremely sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
The sleepy hormone kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Like they pass out. I mean, this causes a lot of problems when people are younger. Mm-hmm. Which is why, you know, some guys don't like to get girlfriends at all. You know, just one.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, honestly. So anyway, so there's all, it really is just.
There you go. Look at the time. All right. It's just.
Julia, it really comes down to the fact.
Just that summarize it.
How does your blood flow?
Okay, there you go. If you can or you can't. There you go. It's like, do your ears hang low? Do your opportunity info? Does your blood flow? How? Does your blood flow?
Yeah.
Actually, can you do it two and toe?
There's one more page to my study.
Do you really want to know? Does your blood really flow? Right. Check it out tonight at home, people. That is free. We'll be right back with the rest of our show.
Okay, so we had a few people tweeting us what was the show about the gentleman burglar in Paris, Lupin.
So good.
Netflix.
So good, people.
Sex in the City. It's not going to be called Sex in the City. It's going to be called, can you remember it? You posted the trailer.
No, I know.
Just like that.
And just like that. And that was
worst
something.
Title ever.
But that was something Carrie Bradshaw would use in her writing. And just like that.
Yeah, I know.
This happened. I mean, that was such a common term.
Yeah, I guess.
And everything.
They don't want to call it Sex in the City because Samantha did all the sex stuff in Sex in the City.
Okay,
really?
There you go.
I mean, you know, not that they didn't all have sex, but like Carrie never had it without a bra on.
Well, yeah, Samantha really was out there. It was on HBO, so there was so much going on.
Yeah, if you watch it on some other channel, they have to bleep out so much.
Everything. And it really.
And those ladies are going to make $1 million an episode.
It just sounds so perfect.
Kristen Davis is going to be able to do more stuff with her elephants.
Yes.
And maybe some rom-coms, you know, because really none of the ladies had.
Big careers after that. No. SJP did that thing, Divorce.
She did a few movies and stuff. But she didn't have...
Mm-hmm. No, I'm all for this.
Mm-hmm. I want to know what this. Mr. Big says. I want to know where he fits in the picture.
We don't know where he's at already. I've got a little quiz for you guys, okay?
And Jason Sudeikis is pretty sure Harry Styles is the reason why Olivia Wilde dumped him. So he is the Jennifer Aniston in this triangular situation. Entanglement.
All right, got it.
You know, I just want to catch people up in case, you know, they were missing what the hot gossip was, Julia.
All right. Well, I think it's good that you do that, Lori. I think people are grateful.
We posted is anyone excited about the Super Bowl halftime, the game, or are we just waiting to find out who's going to be in it? Rocco, what do you think?
Wait to see
who's in it.
I saw the first a commercial for the weekend. They were kind of hyping it yesterday during the show.
Some of the games.
Where he drives up.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
It's posted. You'd see it during the football games yesterday. Yeah. It's posted on the Lori and Julia show page.
I kind of, you know, I like seeing him pulling up to the Tampa's, you know, base.
And his face looked normal.
Yes. So that's all going to be
all right. Okay. All right. Good. Mm-hmm. Well, now, is anyone curious about the new partner with WW? Guess who its newest partner is? James Corden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Weight Watchers. I heard about this last week, and then you never like talking about James anymore.
Well, that's
because I don't know if you watched The Prom and you fell back in like with him again.
No, I never made it through. I started it. My mom hated it.
She did.
Did you watch The Prom?
No, I didn't.
It doesn't look good to me.
Well, I know people who loved it that we enjoy their opinions.
We do,
and
so
stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah, so maybe.
I'm into series. I don't know why movies. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know where I'm at right now, and everything's weird. But anyway, here's what he said. I'm fed up with the way the book I'm fed up with being unhealthy, and this is the year I'm going to do it. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. Just, I mean, aren't people sometimes just like you might have a little bit more of a. You know, a little bit more girth or a figure type. I mean, I don't ever really.
He's always been a full figured kind of guy. But he comes and goes, and sometimes the jacket buttons and sometimes it doesn't. And I think sometimes people want to just move past it. But if one of your ways that you're, you know, trying to lose weight and eat healthy is with olive oil, Lori.
Yeah. Oh, tell me.
Don't buy it in the big bottles
because
there's an expiration date on olive oil. It all the good stuff, olive oil does not get better with age.
No.
It's not wine.
Right.
Olive oils are bottled with a stated shelf life, which should be no more than 2 years from bottling. Once you open the bottle and let the air in, like some lotions and potions for your skincare, that's why you want to use pump things that don't let the air in. Mm-hmm. It breaks down all the molecules and everything. So
molecules,
those guys, but the nutrient value, and it starts to oxidize. And
I'm doing it all wrong. I got mine in a drizzle thing.
Yeah, but you probably go through it.
Don't buy the big ginormous bottles that you can get for like $5. Buy the little ones that you go through it. So it's good to use, but that's just a little.
By the way, your brother got a real bad cholesterol reading.
Oh, no.
And
now what is he stopping? Which one?
Mr. Butter.
Which one? Oh, Mr. Butter. Mr. Your Butter. Husband.
Yeah, my husband.
My older brother.
And Rocco, Casey drinks whole milk. He butters frosted donuts. He butters glazed donuts. I saw him put butter on a powdered sugar almond croissant.
But would butter be the thing that makes your cholesterol go up?
That excessive amount.
We've never had high cholesterol in our family.
Oh, Casey's got it. And he's going to exercise it away. But I'm telling him today all the things he's got to do. And he's just like, you know. And he said, eating isn't going to be fun. And I said, Casey, you don't need to butter a donut that's frosted. This is by anybody's standards, extreme buttering.
My mom does, when we get those rolls from Toby's, like she puts butter on
that's
those.
Okay. I get that.
I get that with the caramel roll when you melt it with butter.
I get that.
But so what's the difference? It's frosting, it's caramel.
That's what Casey says, but I'm just saying you're already having buttery butter by having a donut with frosting. How much more glorious does it need to be? Quite a bit.
Well, because just his coffee game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this must make him really upset.
Well, I'm happy for my kitchen because this means he's going to go back to the peanut butter dust the big globs of peanut butter he's been going through that he leaves like, like your kid, Rocco.
Peanut butter dust?
There's peanut butter dust if you want to make a soda, if you make a protein shake or a smoothie.
Okay.
Instead of using peanut butter.
And oh my gosh.
We like Jif, extra crunchy or extra creamy. It's probably good and fatty.
Okay, this is just so funny.
So he's got to go back to the dust, which will help my daily...
Your cleaning.
...fingerprint, you know. And even though the fact that no butter and oatmeal, no butter, you know, all these things.
Oh, life is over for him.
Oh, Butterman is in the doghouse.
That makes him so sad. All right, everybody have a good night tonight. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.